Genesis 3 and verse 8. And they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. And Jehovah Elohim called to man and said to him, "Where art thou?" Book of Exodus, chapter 3 again, and verse 4. And Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see, and God called to him out of the midst of the thorn bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither. Loose thy sandals from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And if you bear with me, another two passages. One is Mark 10, Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 50. And throwing away his garment, he started up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering says to him, "What wilt thou that I shall do to thee?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, thy faith has healed thee." And he saw immediately and followed him in the way. And Revelation 1, verse 12. And I turned back to see the voice which spoke with me. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one, and I became dead, and behold, I am living to the ages of ages, and have the keys of death and of Hades." These passages show us four different ways in which a soul can be before in the presence of God. And I seek the Lord's help to speak about His ways on God's side and on our side. The gospel comes to us when we are far from God, when we haven't a link with Him. But we have to seek why we don't have a link with God. And this first passage we read in Genesis is very simple language, very plain, but it puts it very clear for us. You just can try and picture the situation. Man had been created, and he had been put in a situation of blessing. Such blessing that we cannot imagine. Didn't have to work, didn't have to do anything. Everything was happening in a sort of automatic way, which was very nice. But God knew, and we know now, that man had a will of his own. And that blessing was on one condition, and that was obedience to God. Now, I don't know what you feel about yourself, but I don't feel I am very obedient at all. You just can picture this situation here. We know it by experience, and some of us know it as parents as well. A little child or a child does something that is not suitable, and then he hides. He thinks that by hiding there is some way of just dealing with the matter. This is what man did. He disobeyed God and he hid himself. And you know, as parents, we get quite cross about that, and we tend to do something about it, of course. Discipline comes in. But God here just came down in the scene where blessing was put for men. And he spoke to men. And he asked him a question. Where art thou? He didn't say, thou, you have disobeyed, or he didn't rebuke him straight away. What comes after that is very serious. But here, he just asked him, where art thou? And this is the question I want to ask you tonight. Where are you in relation to God? He is ready for blessing. But where are we in relation to that blessing and to his person and to the fact that he is so gracious that he wants contact with men? He came down in the cool the day and wanted to have contact with men. He couldn't find him. Well, of course he could have found him. God knew everything. But it's put in a way that man wasn't visible. He had hid himself. It was the weight of the disobedience. That is what is our history, what belongs to us naturally. Therefore, we need God's point of view. We need his approach to us in order to introduce us to his plans. You know, of course, the situation was dealt with by God. He, first of all, he turned to the serpent who was cursed. Then the suffering, the childbearing was brought in. And then the earth was cursed on account of men. And we are living in that kind of earth nowadays. It is still under the same judgment. And we need to be called out of it. We need to be aware of the origin of our distance from God, of our enmity towards him, of our incapacity of understanding his plans for us and of grasping his blessing for ourselves. This is what marks us as human creatures. So God was gracious enough to question man in that way. That means that he is wanting to stir our souls, our hearts. If he asks us, where are you? He wants us to think about it and to make us and he wants us to make a decision in answering and in understanding what has come in between us and God. So if we turn to the second passage, we have God's point of view. You know, Moses was interested in this that he saw. It was a bush that was burning, and as it normally would happen with us, the bush that burns consumes itself, and then eventually there is no more bush. But it wasn't like that here. The bush was burning, and the bush was still there. So it was some way of attracting the attention of a man that was there. You know, Moses was a very good kind of person, but he was affected by the same nature of Adam. And he was a sinner himself. Although he was far long better than myself, but he was a sinner. And he was drawn in his attention to this bush. And God, what does God do about it? He takes notice. This is the first thing. Anything that comes from your heart, God will take notice of it. You know, He won't just pass on. He will individually take interest in it. And He says to Moses a very interesting thing. He doesn't say anything about the bush. He doesn't say, why are you interested? Why are you stopping? What are you looking? This would be the sort of question that we might ask ourselves. God just says a very direct communication to Moses. He says to take his sandals off because that was holy ground. Now, I wanted to point to this as God's point of view. When the gospel is presented, we have to, first of all, to take account that the gospel comes in the full respect of the holiness of God and of the divine persons. That is how the gospel comes to us. It's holy ground. We have to be careful about it. It's very good to have feelings about God in our hearts, and that is what we wish for our fellow men and for all those that we love. But the first feeling has to be in full respect of the holiness of the one who is making the offer towards us. You know, the devil in the garden had been very deceitful. He had gone against the commandment of God. He had gone against His holiness. He had defied God in that way. And he'll be dealt with accordingly. We leave that to God. But as far as creatures are concerned, we have to be aware of God's holiness. And Moses, you know, when he took those sandals off his feet, he started on the right pathway. He was a man that needed a lot of training, like we all do, at least I do certainly, but he was brought to become a servant that was really faithful. And you know what he needed to do? He needed to unfold to the people of God, the people of old, that means the people of Israel, he needed to unfold to the people of God the promises of God. Now, those promises that were in a way so visible in the garden were concealed in the purpose of God for Israel here. And they had to be revealed. And Moses was chosen. And he was set to start from the holiness of God in order that he might address the people in the right way. He might turn them to a holy God that was really available for them. But he wanted them to be in that pathway. Imagine what that must have meant to Moses and to the people. But imagine what it must have meant to God, to somebody who could really serve in that way. This is something that affected Moses in all his pathway. But if we start on the right way, taking account of God's holiness, the gospel will be presented to us in such a way that we can grasp it in the right attitude. You know, we can't trifle with it. It's a solemn message for our souls. It's a message that comes straight from God to you individually, where you are sitting, where you are lying, where you are living, where you are doing your common things of life. It comes to you in such a way, individually. You see, the hymn we sang, each verse finished with "for me." Have you have been able to sing that? Have you thought of it for yourself? We particularly think of each one, but we think of the young ones in a special way. When they realize the Lord is for me, is the first step, and then be aware the Lord is holy and God is holy. is a holy is a holy message that is available for us, and it's a holy ground on which we have to stay. So, you know, as human being, when we look to the fire for some time, and we turn our eyes away, it seems that we are blind. This is the blind man, you see. He was aware that there was a power in the Lord Jesus there, but he couldn't see. He wanted to receive something, but he wasn't able to have it. But he was aware of his blindness. You know, if when we go to, when we look unto divine things from a human point of view, we are blind. We can't see. We can only see what is in our hearts. We can only see what is standing in the way in our nature. But we can't see divine things with our natural eyes. We need the Lord's touch. So the Lord was available there. This man was blind, but he was going to try and shout to the Lord. And so the Lord takes account of that interest. It's exactly like the interest of Moses is the interest of a blind person, a person who has come to the realization of his limitations, of his problems. Now, have you come to the understanding of your state in God's presence? Have you realized that you are a sinner that needs repentance, that needs salvation, that needs the Lord's work? This is what this man needed to understand, you know. He was blind, and then he calls for the Lord, and what does the Lord do? He calls him. Now, be aware of what the Lord, of how the Lord may be calling you. You know, the Lord knows your name, he knows where you are, and above all, he knows your state. So he might call you any moment. If he has already done that, it's a great blessing for you. And it's a great blessing to think over it again and again, that you have been called by him. If he hasn't yet done it, be watchful and listening, you know. Like Samuel had to experience, to be watchful and listen to the calling of Jehovah. The Lord calls this blind man. They tell him, be of good courage, rise up, he calls thee. So this man goes. And what happens there? What happens is that the Lord asks him very graciously what he wants from him. Perhaps the Lord is going to ask you that. What do you want me to do for you? You know, if you receive that question, be aware of holiness. The Lord has already done everything for you. So, this man just asked the Lord a very simple thing. He says that I may see. He wants to be able to see what the gospel brings to you and what the Lord Jesus has done for you. When we speak of seeing, we are not always speaking of natural sight. We speak of what we can see with our hearts, with our faith. You know, all those that try and fly away from God, they try to dismiss him and to think there is no God. I've got a colleague who does that. And whenever I speak to him, he always says back to me that you know that I don't believe. And I keep saying a few remarks from time to time. But, you know, if he's honest to himself, it's just enough to go out and look at nature, look at creation, and where does it all come from? You have to accept that there is a feeling of God in your heart, and you are attracted to the Lord Jesus because he calls you. Wait for that calling, listen for that calling, and ask to be able to see. You know, Moses wanted to know what was happening, but this man simply wanted to be made able to see. And when he saw, as soon as he was healed, when he saw, he was able to see the Lord Jesus and to follow him. Now I commend this to you. If you see the Lord, follow him. Amen. You know, following the Lord requires committal to himself. And this committal is a very important matter for our hearts. We speak of the committal in remembering the Lord, and this is always very encouraging and very good. But the committal is to his person first. We have to be attracted to his person. And this man had received sight from the Lord, and he could follow him because he could see him. So it was an object, he was an object of faith and of sight for his eyes. Is that an object of faith for my eyes? Is that an object of faith for your eyes? The Lord is there, available, having healed him. He followed this blind man that had been healed, followed him. So, therefore, we, once we are made to see, we have got to understand the Lord's side in the gospel, his person as it is presented. That's why I turn to Revelation. Because, you know, it's a very peculiar setting, and John was there as a person who had to receive the revelation of what was going to happen. Very important book he was able to write, and very important things he was able to speak of. But first of all, he was interested in the voice that he heard. And when he turned to see the voice, he could see a sight that was beyond what he could bear. It was a sight, I haven't read the details of this sight because I didn't want to stop on that, but what happens when he saw this sight is that he fell at his feet as dead. Now we have to realize that before the Lord, in his holiness, in his power, in his supremacy, we are as dead persons. You know, once we experience that, there is the power of the Lord for us. His right hand upon John is an indication of his power that was available. His right hand was there, and John was brought up, and he had to listen to what the Lord had to tell him. You know, when we go to the Lord in accepting him as our Savior, we then have to do the step in accepting him as our Lord. And that is a matter of holiness, again, and of power. The Lord will be the King of Kings. He will be the powerful one above all. We have spoken of that before as well. But here, John was brought up in order that he was encouraged, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." You know, we have spoken of the leader of faith, originator of life, the one that starts and completes the full matter. He's the first and the last. Nobody was before him and nobody after him. You know, this is our Lord. That's why it's very important to see the Lord's side. He's holy and powerful and great, far beyond what we can fathom, is that the word? Fathom in our measure, but is there for us. Now, what an encouraging touch for John. Fear not. You're not to be afraid. He's great, he's the Lord, he's God. We should never forget that. But he says to us, fear not. And then he says, I am the first and the last and the living one. Now, you know, the scripture is full of witness that the Lord has been on the cross. And also, he has been in the sepulchre. Now, this shows that the Lord was really in death. But he refers to that here, but he starts by saying, I am the living one. That is the link he has with his, with your heart. That is why you are drawn to him, because he's the living one that can can pass life on to you. That is why he is addressing to John in this way, the living one that is there, available for John to understand, to get into the full knowledge of these matters that were to be revealed to him. Quite a unique revelation he had. But before that, he had to understand what he was before the Lord as dead and brought up in order that he might be in connection with the living one. You know, without the Lord, we are really dead. Dead in our trespasses, the scripture reminds us. Without hope, without any way out. But with the Lord, in his life, in his love, in his grace towards us, we have received all means by which we can be in his presence. And so he says, I became dead. What a touching reference to his death. You know, he took human form in perfection, human body in perfection. He didn't need to die. That condemnation that was on men on account of sin wasn't on the Lord Jesus. He didn't need it, but he accepted death. He became dead. And then he raised again. That is the Lord that we can present. That is the Lord's side of the gospel that we can be attracted to. A person that can deal with us in a powerful way. And I am living to the ages of ages. Our Lord will be like that, and we'll be with him in that way, living to the ages of ages. What blessedness in this revelation to John, and what blessedness there can be for us. It's such a touching message, but such a, it just shows the power that was there, the power that could really transform this believer, this dear saint of the Lord, in someone who could be brought into the knowledge of divine matters. And if the Lord deals with us in such a way, we can be introduced in the revelation of God's plans. Those plans that were hidden in the garden were then slowly, little by little, revealed to the people of Israel, and then God spoke again in his Son, and those plans have been presented to us in the Lord Jesus in his grace. And so in the end he has a very encouraging word. He says, I have the keys of death and Hades. This is the final touch, referring to the final power of the Lord above the last enemy that will be overcome. Death is the last enemy. We have evidences of continual evidences of his presence with us, don't we? But the Lord is above death as well. He has the keys for that. So is John was brought up from a state as of a dead person in order to receive this message, I've got the keys of death. And the Lord will open, and the time in which the Lord will open that. Think of the myriads of all those that have been fallen asleep in him that will be there, right there, to be taken to be with the Lord. What blessed power the Lord will display at the moment of his coming with all those that have fallen asleep in him and with those who will be alive. Now may you really experience the contact with the Lord Jesus in this way, in a personal way. Let us take account of these two sides, what is on God's side and what is on our side. What is on his side is always there in his perfection and holiness, and we are made able to enter into this with the blessing that the Lord introduces with his own work, with his own word, and with his own person as the powerful one who has power above all things and on our hearts as well. May the Lord bless the world.
Amen.